Hey, thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or advertising campaigns on Facebook and other platforms, then I want to invite you for a free strategy session. We help entrepreneurs scale from six figures to seven figures and even to eight figures with their e-commerce businesses. So if that's what you're looking for, then I want to invite you. There should be a link somewhere here so you can apply for a free strategy call and we'll see how we can help you out.
Guys, we have here Kyle McCoy. So Kyle has exited his e-commerce business. And so we'll be talking basically how he built it, how he exited the whole process. So you got like $450,000?
So it's kind of a funny deal how, you know, it's structured. It's not just kind of like, you know, the full amount paid out right away. So the problem I ran into was because my business is a Canadian business, I can't, you know, any American buyers can't get SPA funding for it. So basically the buyer had to just use like just his, all of his cash pretty much. So it was listed for $470,000. And then, you know, he obviously lowballed the first offer, whatever. I came back and we met at the middle at $425,000.
I posted 450, so it's
420. Yeah, so, but I actually end up getting more than that. So the way the deal is structured, I'm going to actually end up getting more than my asking price even. So what happened is because he can't get funding for it, I get $425,000 USD up front. And then basically the rest of the $200,000 is amortized over 10 years with a 5-year balloon payment. So end of the 5 years, I basically get paid out and, you know, every month I'm going to get like a $2,300 payment. And the good thing about that is I'm charging a 6% interest on that. So, so once the 6% and, you know, at the end of 5 years, I think the total with interest comes up to like $475K, something like that, which is $5,000 over asking, which is, you know, pretty sweet.
Cool. So is there like any, like, are you still like staying with a business or it's like fully, like, it's kind of like you just fully disattached from it?
Yeah, I'm fully disattached from it. The only thing that I'm doing over the next month is just giving training to the new buyer. But other than that, he has full control of everything. So
cool. Awesome. And so how did you like you joined TSS like when your business when was at what level?
Kind of, you know, at its mid level when I joined ESS, and then, you know, everything that I'd learned in there, I'd, you know, taken it to a little bit higher of a level. And, you know, that's kind of when, you know, we had some calls and I was kind of considering selling it and stuff like that. And you had directed me to Isaac from Website Closers.
Cool, man. So like your business is in jewelry, right?
Yeah, correct.
Cool. So how long have you been running it?
I was running it from like right now, basically till Tuesday when I transferred it. It was just over a year. So it had started in September of 2020.
So September 2020. Yeah. So it's like,
just over a year old.
Cool, man. So who's the buyer? Like, is the buyer like sophisticated?
No, not at all. No, he, and that's the painful thing for me with the training is he's just kind of, he's a 50-year-old guy and, you know, I kind of help him learn how to use a computer also. So a little bit difficult, but it is what it is. He wanted to learn e-commerce. So
sometimes when people, you know, are very sophisticated, it also like, it makes it more difficult because I mean, then, you know, they kind of like go like very granular and they ask you like very, very specific things. So I think, you know, it's kind of like, it's good and bad.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think it kind of goes both ways for that. Like, you know, one thing that, you know, that's very important that I learned from this whole thing was, buyers vet the sellers, but I think it's actually also super important for sellers to vet the buyers because, you know, this guy has kind of been, I mean, even the brokers and everything have kind of said that, you know, he's pretty demanding. So it was a lot. It was a very long process. And, you know, just because he's super new, he wasn't, you know, exactly for sure what to, you know, to look at. And, you know, he wasn't he just wasn't really sure about that. So he was kind of doing things that, you know, necessarily might not have made too much sense, but, you know, it was all for his peace of mind, I guess. So,
oh man. So in terms of like other projects, so what do you want to do now? Like, so after you've exited, what do you want to do?
I'm kind of getting into NFTs and stuff like that, just like everybody. But, you know, I think there's a huge opportunity there. And, you know, I kind of see it almost like e-commerce in a sense. So when me and my buddy, we're making a project. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of look at it the same way as an e-commerce store, because, you know, basically you have a website and you have to do all the marketing and, you know, build a community basically. And, you know, you have to sell all these products straight from your website. So, you know, I kind of look at it the same way as I did as e-commerce. So that's kind of where pivoting to right now.
Business was jewelry. So what was your like, what is the niche? Like, did you like choose like specific niche, or did you test like a lot of like products? How did you scale it?
Honestly, when I first started, it was just like a single product store, and I had only tested this one product on it. Like, this was the first product that I tested on it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, basically, you know, I started running some ads on it, just doing some, you know, testing some creatives and stuff like that. And basically it just started to, you know, perform like right off the bat. So I kind of knew I had something there, and basically just kept, you know, expanding the marketing and throwing some more money into Facebook ads and stuff like that. And the first, I think I got like the first sale like midway through September 2020, and I did $5,000 or so in revenue till the end of September. And then the second month it went from, you know, $5,000 in 2 weeks all the way up to like $35,000 in the second month. So, you know, it went up pretty quick right off the bat, and kind of just kept going up a little bit here and there from there.
What would you do like differently, right? Like, if you were to start like a new brand, like what would you do differently this time?
Honestly, not a whole lot. I think the way it started was pretty solid. And, you know, I kind of use those same strategies these days. Like, you know, I found the product on AdSpy. You know, I have a background in graphic design and everything like that. So I feel like I'm able to create brands and all the graphics and everything that you need pretty well. So, yeah, I think I'd probably pretty much followed the same framework that I did that one. You know, it seemed to work pretty well. The only thing that I might change is just kind of the way I started off with Facebook, just because it was like my first store that actually started to, you know, work. So I was pretty reluctant to scale Facebook ads aggressively. So this time, you know, with any new stores, I might just start to scale a little bit more aggressively sooner on.
So Facebook was like a main traffic channel for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think someone on our team said that you're very like precise with like how you manage your ads and kind of like you develop your own kind of like structure for that. For you, in terms of scaling the business before exit, what were some of the big movers?
Honestly, creative. That was like the number one thing that, you know, I found that made the biggest difference. Like, in it was kind of weird over the summer in, I think, July, the store had like a huge dip in revenue, and it went all the way down to like $35,000, you know, when it was averaging like around $40,000 to $55,000 a month. And I'm not sure exactly why. It was just overall a bad month for Facebook or something like that. But in August, I just basically started testing all sorts of new creatives and stuff like that. And that was actually the highest revenue month that it did. And I think it got just shy of $80,000 that month. So yeah, that was kind of like the most important thing, you know, was continuing to just refresh the creatives and make sure all the audiences aren't just seeing the same thing over and over again.
So how did you source your creatives?
I just made them all myself. So with jewelry, personally, I found image ads always worked better than video ads. And the main reason I think that is with a video, it's kind of hard to see a piece of jewelry you know, in detail, unless you literally just have like B-roll shots of the jewelry, can, you know, be kind of boring also sometimes. So I think, you know, just having a really nice photo that, you know, shows off the details and everything of the jewelry, you know, that worked really well for me. And I think it was just because it was, you know, a static ad that people could, you know, sit there and stare at the jewelry and look at it and, you know, see it in its full detail instead of, you know, a video just showing an angle for a second and then going to another angle for a second and then going far out and stuff like that, where people can't really fully see the item too easily.
We got a question here. Did you face any challenges after Eyes 14? How were you able to combat it to scale?
Initially, I didn't. You know, after iOS 14 first came out, I actually was getting better performance, which I was, you know, pretty happy about. But over the last few months, that's when I had really seen the biggest issues. And, you know, Facebook was just mistracking like crazy. Like a campaign in my ads manager would say I have 20 purchases, but the Shopify only shows like 10 purchases or something like that. So what I initially started doing was Serhii had given me a bunch of URL parameters to put in my ads. So I did that and I was, you know, kind of cross-referencing, you know, Shopify, Google Analytics, and then also the Shopify reports. That was all right. But the problem with that is, you know, your Shopify store says one thing, your Shopify analytics say one thing, and then Google Analytics say another thing. So what I was doing was honestly, I was just kind of taking the average of, you know, all of those and kind of just using that. But what I used after that was Commently. And that was, you know, that was working pretty well for me, mainly just for the fact that it seemed pretty accurate. And, you know, I didn't have to look through all these three different sources and kind of, you know, take an average. And, you know, it was just a lot more work.
So Commently worked pretty well for you?
Yeah, it did.
Cool. Yeah, guys, I'll share Commently, by the way, here as well. If you need solutions for tracking, that's probably, yeah, it's probably one of the best, you know, in my opinion. We've got some other questions here. Do you test your creatives in like new ad sets? Like, did you test your creatives like in new ad sets or like existing ad sets?
Yeah, I just used them in new ad sets. So I had kind of like a sandbox creative testing campaign. And I would always just throw them in new ad sets and everything like that.
So another question here. Did you set up micro conversion events like initial checkout? What all events have you set up on your store?
Yeah, I have all like the micro conversions events, like, you know, initiate checkout, add to cart, view content, you know, all the standard ones.
Yeah, I think that's a good question here. How did you balance sourcing your own creatives with other aspects of running business?
Honestly, everything with the business was pretty much automated. So, you know, my fulfillment agent, he's awesome because he's able to basically drop ship for me, but, he orders the inventory by himself. So he just kind of, you know, will order a bunch of inventory, stock it for me, and then just sell it off whenever orders come in and then just bill me at the end of every week, basically. Then all the customer service and everything like that is automated as well. I have a virtual assistant that, you know, basically takes care of everything. So pretty much the only thing that I had to do was just, you know, focus on marketing and, you know, some other things here and there, but, you know, marketing was pretty much like the main thing that I did. So just making all my own creatives and stuff like that was...
Did you ship from China or from the US?
I had a warehouse in both. So I shipped worldwide. So most orders came from China, but I did have inventory in a US warehouse to ship to all orders that were in the US.
What was your initial Facebook ads testing process like? Can you walk me through that all the way to the point of scaling, please?
Sure. So honestly, it was super simple. You know, when I first tested this product, you know, I was still pretty pretty new at, e-commerce. I had never had a store that, you know, popped off at all. So, you know, I was still kind of in that phase of, you know, hopefully this one works. You know, I'd had like 6 or 7 other stores that I had made before this one that, just spent a couple grand on Facebook ads and didn't work at all. So the initial testing phase was basically just, putting 2 creatives in some ad sets and, you know, just doing, single interest ad sets and having like 5 to 10, you know, interests in each campaign and, you know, have a few campaigns mm-hmm. running and, you know, basically just seeing which interests started working. And then basically once I found a bunch of interests that started working, I pretty much just duplicated them into either a new CBO or ABO and just basically increased the budget and just continuously increased the budget by like 20-25% every 1 to 2 days. And that was kind of the initial testing and scaling phase.
Cool. So like, since you started, because the way I think about it, right? Like, so you start a business, right? Everyone, like, let's say, someone has like e-commerce business, like you, so you make a profit, right? Like as you're running it. Mm-hmm. And then like when you're selling it, I mean, you make even more. I mean, you kind of like, it's like a profit multiplier, right?
So exactly, yeah.
If you started that business like from September 2020, so how much in profit have you made until the point you sold the business?
I think it was around like 130 to 140 net, something like that. It was around 20% overall net.
Mm-hmm. And then you sold it, and that's another like 400. I mean, kind of like broken down.
Yeah. And like the initial escrow is 225K. So, I get that right away. And then the next is, over five, the rest is over 5 years.
In terms of because someone's asking, I say people would say, what ad strategies were you using to hit 450K in a day?
I don't know about that, man. I'm still working on that one.
it's different, right? When you sell the business, this is when you get paid this much, right?
I feel like, whenever you sell the business, that's where the real money's at.
Cool. So what was your hiring work? Did you hire anyone at all? Like, or you were doing everything by yourself?
I just have one VA basically. I hired her through Upwork. Basically how I did that was I made a job posting on Upwork. Tons of people apply to it and you kind of look through a bunch of resumes and try and find, some solid ones. And I put a bunch of questions in there just to see if people actually read the whole job ad. And there's kind of a few little things in there. Like, if you've read all the way to the job ad, basically put your reply starting with like, a specific word or something like that, just so you can see that they read the whole thing. So, any of them that didn't say that, I basically just got rid of them right away. And it was just kind of a little bit of a, faster way to, go through all the applications. And yeah, basically just hired a couple people off the bat and, tested them both out, and one sucked and one was great, and I just stuck with the one that was really good ever since.
Hey guys, people have been asking me how we scale to multiple 6 figures or even 7 figures per month without getting shut down on Facebook, and we have a very sophisticated solution for this that I want to share with you, but it's just like too valuable to give away for free. So if you guys want this solution, just book a call with one of my team members and we'll show you exactly what it is and how it works, and we'll see if that's a good fit for you and for your business. So just book a call with my team member. We'll share it with you so you can scale your business to multiple 6 figures or even 7 figures per month without getting shut down on Facebook, without having inconsistency and with high profitability. So just book a call with my team and I'll see you there. Please describe the creative framework you use.
Since I have like a background in graphic design, creating all this stuff is super easy for me. So I basically, go into either Adobe.
Good for you. You're talented in that aspect, right? Like what if someone is not, what would you do?
See, the problem with that is, with dropshipping, it doesn't really seem like there's many places that you can source image ads. For example, for me, image ads work way better. So, you know, all these video ad companies, they, all the image ads they make are honestly just kind of not good at all. So what I would do is I would probably go to Upwork, you know, and try and find some sort of graphic designer on Upwork. And then that way you can, you know, get a lot more stuff for, you know, substantially less money. Mm-hmm. Then you can also get stuff that's, you know, a lot more customized and tailored to you. And, you know, you can fine tune it here and there, you know, change a little color or something like that a lot easier than one of these big, you know, video ad companies.
I would also like, I mean, and that's like, I mean, what we found for ourselves in terms of sourcing content. Like using your local network, like if you know like photographers, like videographers, mm-hmm. like locally, like oftentimes that works like pretty well. Like you send them, you know, the product and they can do lifestyle photos. If they have like a studio, they can do in a studio. So even like using your local network, I mean, everyone knows like good like photographer, like or videographer just like was in their
network. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think it's just about like kind of like being creative with this, like not getting like, you know, like how to source content. Just be creative, like send yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and if you have a friend that does any stuff like that, or you know, you can use apps like Canva. Canva is kind of just like a super easy Photoshop to use, basically. So you know, stuff like that, like, you know, exactly like you said, just be creative and try and find any way to do it that works for you.
All right, so another question: did you plan on selling your store when you started? What made you sell the store versus scaling it to high revenues? Good question.
No, honestly, when I started the store, I didn't plan on selling it at all. It was kind of, you know, right at the beginning of the pandemic when, you know, I really started wanting to get into e-commerce. So I had lived in a, you know, like a lake town by my house or by, you know, by my city a few hours away or whatever for a summer. And, you know, I'd almost just spent all my money on that, that summer.
Like in the Rocky Mountains?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, Kelowna, BC. It's, yeah, beautiful place. And
beautiful.
I just lived there with my friends for the whole summer and almost spent all my money. And, you know, I came back home and, you know, I only had a few grand left and I had to just figure out a way how to make money, you know, either get a job or, you know, just.
So you didn't have like, a lot of capital when you started this, like this?
No, not at all. I literally had $3,000 to my name. Plus I had all my, you know, bills and everything that are always coming out. So, you know, that wouldn't have lasted long. So yeah, really happy that, you know, this started working and it kind of carried me over, you know, throughout the last year or so. And, you know, I created a couple other brands and stuff like that. And, just kind of been going from there.
So before that, you didn't have like any e-commerce experience at all?
A very, very small amount. Nothing like no big successes or anything like that. Basically, sorry, my alarm was just going off. So I had started like a coffee brand and I was selling coffee beans. And I did about $2,000 of sales with that. And then I actually ended up selling that store on Shopify Exchange for like $5,000. And I had done, you know, a few other stores and, you know, tested a bunch of projects and stuff like that. And, you know, they never ended up working out. So, you know, I came back home after that summer and, you know, started testing more products and, you know, building another store. And that was the one that I just sold.
That's awesome. And so another question here, how did you organize your cash management? How are you keeping track of spend, inventory, employees, etc.?
Best way that I organized all my cash management was using like the accounting app QuickBooks. So basically just attach all of your credit cards to it, your bank accounts, everything to it. And it kind of just, you know, you can categorize everything, all of the charges and everything like that. So that made it much easier because you could kind of see everything in one place. And then how was I keeping track of spend? I guess, you know, I was pretty much just in Ads Manager like every day, just making sure. know, I wasn't accidentally.
I think this is impressive. I mean, the amount is not that large, you know, like 450 Gs. But as for like, kind of like for a first, like bigger success, it's like getting from like literally like zero.
Yeah.
Like making 100, you said 130 profit during that period of time. Plus, you know, the exit now is like literally 300 plus that you got.
Yeah.
Kind of like you paid from it like clean, and then like those payments over the next few years, that just shows you like the power of like being like in e-commerce or any of these like industries, like that where you can like literally start from like nothing and within like a year, a little bit over the year, like getting to a very like decent, you know, like that
position where you have you know, capital and everything to start new projects and, you know, not be as stressed about things not working right off the bat.
For sure. So what made you decide to start in the jewelry niche?
Honestly, it was just AdSpy. I found a product that was doing really well. It looked on AdSpy. You know, I was checking out the website. And, you know, it was a really nice website and a great idea. And, you know, it supported the social mission. So that was the main reason why I got into there. It was just that was the product that I found on AdSpy that, you know, I kind of wanted to test out.
So you found someone else doing well with exactly the same product?
Yeah. And I basically completely replicated his whole framework and everything like that. And, yeah, just kind of started working. And then, you know, I kind of customized my website a little bit more to try and, you know, improve on areas where I think his website kind of lacked. That was how I started in jewelry.
That's awesome. What elements of ESS had the biggest impact on you scaling, exiting the business?
Honestly, Serhii was amazing. You know, anytime I ever had issues or anything like that, he's a genius with Facebook ads. So he was able to always help me out with that. And just all the contacts that you guys have is, you know, definitely, I would say that's like the biggest benefit that, you know, I got out of the whole ESS program was just, you know, you setting me up with like meetings with people or giving me, you know, some contact information. We were on one of the group calls or whatever, and I was talking to you about wanting to sell the store, and you said you were buddies with a guy that owned a brokerage, and you know that was Isaac from Website Closers, and you sent us an email asking if we could connect, and yeah, basically we did, and that led us to the sale.
At what price range do you choose product?
So the initial product I was selling was $29.95 and obviously had like the 50% off. So it was the price was showing at $60 and selling it for $30 basically.
So,
and one important thing I was doing with that too was, you know, my whole, as soon as you get to the website, I had like a buy two, get one free offer. So that really helps to, you know, bump up the AOV to around like $50 because people buy two of the bracelets, then the order is $60 and the cost only goes up like $2 for that. So, you know, that was the biggest thing that, you know, helped keep the whole operation profitable.
All right. Someone's asking, can you suggest your fulfillment agent?
Yeah, for sure. The agent that I use is Air Lyle Fulfillment, and they've been absolutely amazing. Yeah, sure.
Awesome. And so is that it? Like, so that's a supplier in China, you said, but they have fulfillment also in
China? The guy, one of the founders or co-founders, he lives in the U.S. and he has a warehouse in the U.S. as well as China.
Cool. Which market did you start testing in and at which you were the most successful? And I'll be back in that minute. I just have to 1 minute.
Yes. Yeah, so I initially started testing in the big four. So the initial markets that started working for me was the USA, Australia, and UK. Canada was a little bit slow, but mainly USA and Australia started working for me. And Australia was huge, and that was kind of just due to the fact that the social mission that I supported was, you know, kind of helping Australia out. And then, you know, later on, you know, I started doing a lot more ePacket and stuff like that, just because the way my Facebook pixel optimized or whatever, it kind of seemed that, you know, only targeting, you know, big four or something like that, it kind of stopped working for me. So I had to do just absolutely huge targeting and, you know, have massive audiences. And that's kind of what kept working for me.
Someone's asked, like, what would be the main factor of your success for this particular store? What was your learning curve that allowed you to gain success right now? And I think it's kind of like a good question, because like even like in ESS, you know, we have people who are you know, doing like millions per year, right? But I mean, they just kind of like, I mean, a lot of the cases they just start kind of like the mill stores, they're not selling them, right? So I think interesting thing here is that you've kind of like done it pretty quick in terms of the time frame, right? So what is
the- I would say the biggest factor of success with the store is kind of just the, you know, all the elements you know, that you need to have a successful store aligned. So, you know, it was a good product that people actually wanted and liked. Then also, you know, I feel like the brand I created was really good, and it had it was very relevant towards the product. And then, you know, just having, you know, the solid creatives, you know, everything, all three of those different things, you know, kind of just seem to align with, you know, align. And that's what I feel like gave me the success with this store. Whereas, you know, with previous stores, one of those things was off, whether as, you know, the product that people didn't like, or, you know, the website wasn't particularly amazing, or the ads or whatever it was, something didn't align. Whereas with this one, all three of those things kind of just aligned and kind of worked. And then the learning curve that, you know, allowed me to gain success was, you know, it was a pretty slow process of learning. Like the entire probably year and a half before this star actually started working, I was, you know, I was just building like six or seven different stores and just trying them. So, you know, with all of those, I had learned very valuable lessons, you know, different lessons with every single one. So, you know, I kind of took all the knowledge from those like seven failed attempts and kind of tried to fix those with this. And, you know, between that and everything, kind of all those different factors just kind of aligning, that's what, you know, I kind of feel led me to the success with this one.
Cool. Have another one here. If your competitor built great user journey funnel regarding pre-purchase, post-purchase, UGC ads, bundling, quantity break discounts, coupon codes, angles, upselling in carts, and on checkout page, would you consider competing with this brand? Question for both.
Yeah, and that's actually exactly what I did. Like the store that you know, I kind of had found this product that was doing well, it was like a really big store. And I actually, you know, through a bunch of research, I found out who the owner was. So, you know, I followed him on Instagram, and I was able to see him posting updates of like how much numbers and stuff he was doing. So, you know, my main competitor was doing really well. It actually kind of benefited me, and, you know, I was able to also gain success from his success. So, for example, I targeted, you know, keywords for his brand on Google Ads. So, you know, all the money he was spending on Facebook ads like crazy, people would, you know, not buy right off the bat, and then they'd go to Google it to go back to it, and then all of a sudden my ad shows up. So now this guy just probably paid all this Facebook ad money for me to get a sale from Google Ads and stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, it's good, but it's also, you know, kind of bad.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like you just have to be creative in terms of like how you differentiate. So, I mean, your branding might be different. Your angle might be slightly different. You just kind of like, you can go after like a different segment of the market. So for example, if we're like in a weight loss niche, right, and everyone is going like after like younger population, like younger people, we might go after older people, right? And we also might find some, you know, some angles there or some uniqueness about the product that other company doesn't kind of like stress on. So I think you just gotta be creative. I think that validation that there is a demand for a certain product is great, because that means people are paying for it. And so now you just eliminate that like market need out of your equation, and you just gotta focus on marketing and finding that product market fit.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. So you advertise only in big four, right?
That's where I started off, but that kind of stopped working, and I had to end up just doing, like ePacket was working for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Like one of my campaigns in my ads manager, I have.
Just to make sure. So this is shipping from China, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so mainly shipping from China. And yeah, I had, I had a single campaign in my ads manager, spend like $100,000 on, a single campaign, because, ePacket was just working so well in that specific campaign. And my main target kind of top selling country was initially the USA, but it kind of shifted to the UK recently, and it just kind of UK just skyrocketed.
Yeah. So did you have like personalized like currency, like British pounds, like for UK?
Yeah, so I have like a automatic currency converter on my store. So I was accepting euros, British pounds, Canadian dollars, Australian dollars, and American dollars.
So another question here, and I mean, I think you already answered. I'm sorry, just hopped on the live. What advertising platforms did you use, and what was the main ones?
I used Google Ads and Facebook. Facebook was like the main one, and I just kind of used Google to support that a little bit, and target some main keywords that kind of were mostly relevant to my business, and also some competitor keywords and stuff like that.
How much revenue you've been doing on Google?
I think I didn't do very much from Google, overall. I think I did like $60,000 from Google. But the thing was, is it was just way more profitable. Like I think I only spent like, I think $20,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. On Google Ads to make the 60. So overall, it was a lot more profitable than Facebook. But I feel like Facebook kind of also was used to fuel all of that as well. People re-Googling the business to come back to it later on and stuff like that.
Can you drop that link for like for the app for currency conversion?
It was Vitals.
Oh, Vitals
app. Yeah,
this app was like a bunch of different apps
And that one, I also used like the sticky add to cart for it, the animated add to cart button, all sorts of different stuff in it.
Cool, awesome. And so from here, like you want to be like more like in NFT space, you don't want to like grow another e-commerce brand and do it like scale it to like
So those are like the two projects I'm working on, is like the NFTs. Then I'm also doing like a men's apparel line, some super custom, like really high quality apparel that you'll wear, like, whether you go to the gym or, hang out at home or, doing whatever. So that's kind of, my long-term project that I'm working on, as well as like the NFTs I'm kind of using to, do that a little bit faster and get some more cash rolling in.
If you want to get a free course on transitioning from dropshipping to eight-figure e-commerce brands, and also on scaling e-commerce businesses with high profitability, there should be a link below. Apply, just fill your information. You will also get access to the private community of 6, 7, and 8 figure entrepreneurs. Now, this link is only for people who already do at least $30,000 per month or more in sales and want to scale their sales, want to scale their profitability, want to avoid banned ad account issues. So if that's you, just apply for that. There should be a link in the description. Click on it, get free resources. It's completely free of charge, and you'll get a lot of value out of it. So make sure you click, get access, and let's get back to the video.
You know what? I've talked to like several people that have like brands, and they specifically, they're doing good numbers operating specifically like in Canadian market. Like, have you thought about that? Like, are you considering that? Like,
yeah. So that's one thing that I kind of want to focus on with this brand, is not doing, obviously have my own website and doing like direct to consumer. But one thing I kind of want to focus on is just doing a lot more wholesale business. Because I think I could, you know, scale that up a lot faster. There's already, you know, one store that I can guarantee get the products into. So, you know, that's good. And then I have some other contacts with big stores. Like, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of it, but it's called Below the Belt, which is a pretty big, you know, clothing store in a bunch of malls here. So, you know, I have a contact that, you know, I could get myself a meeting there. Yeah, that's kind of like my my main strategy with that brand, is try and get, you know, get a bunch of more wholesale business and try and get them into stores and stuff like that, which I think will help, you know, with the website to kind of, you know, grow that way.
Awesome. So another one here, and yeah, we'll probably be wrapping up. Just joint, what's the total revenue of the store and how long it's been running? So it's been running a bit over 1 year, right?
Yeah. And just over that 1 year, the total revenue was around just shy of like 700K.
And you sold it for 450.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Market. So the multiple was about, it was just above 3.5, something like that, which, you know, was a little bit above average because, you know, I think the average is like 3 to 3.5x.
Cool. So how many team members did you start and finish with? Have you shared your store link that you sold? Came late to the live video.
It was just me and one virtual assistant. So then I guess all the fulfillment team members, but they're not, you know, mine. So yeah, it was just me. I'm not going to share the store link just for the privacy of the new owner.
And you probably have like NDAs and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I have all sorts of things that, you know, could get me in trouble by doing that.
Guys, some very good questions here. So that's awesome. I think that's very like inspiring for a lot of people. Not like massive, you know, numbers, but I mean, in 1.5 years, I think that's pretty fucking incredible, man.
Yeah, it definitely brought me from, you know, having $3,000 to, you know, give me a lot more money to, you know, basically do whatever I want to do with business now.
You want to take it like any break, like months, like or two, and just like enjoy like skiing and mountains and stuff?
I want to, but I'm just not that kind of person. I just feel like I feel super lazy and unproductive if I'm not doing something.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, thank you so much for joining, guys. Thank you so much for listening in, for asking good questions. I mean, looking forward to your next successes, and yeah, I'm glad we were able to help you. You know.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You guys have, you know, definitely been a huge part of this.
Yeah, we'll see you guys.
Hey, thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or advertising campaigns on Facebook and other platforms, then I want to invite you for a free strategy session. We help entrepreneurs scale from 6 figures to 7 figures and even to 8 figures with their e-commerce businesses. So if that's what you're looking for, then I want to invite you. There should be a link somewhere here so you can apply for a free strategy call, and we'll see how we can help you out.